Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you, Brother Ray, for the challenge earlier. That was a blessing to my heart. And thank you, Neil, for inviting me for this wonderful privilege. Now you can look at your watch. Yes, I know it's 11 minutes after 7. But if you went to a baseball game, you'd be glad to go into extra innings. Or a football game to go into overtime. I'm not saying I'm going to preach an hour, but I just thought I'd give you my opinion of all that. So, this is a passage of Scripture that is often referenced at services like this, but I'm going to draw our attention by God's grace and with His leadership to the following verses that often we do not look at. But follow along as I read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And often at an ordination, the focus is given on these present tense responsibilities as we begin a ministry, and as a young man launches his lifetime of service. But I want us to continue on looking at verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. My challenge to you this evening, Brother Neil, is that many have invested in your life. And you need to be cognizant of that fact, and you need to give a good return on that investment. Many can start well. Sadly, few finish well. And I believe in this passage that we're going to examine, the Apostle Paul is finishing his race. And he is saying, you know what? I have no regrets. I have nothing that God called me to do, I did not do, and I am ready to face the Lord. But I want to draw your attention to about 30 years prior to this passage of Scripture, when a fearful and doubtful Christian by the name of Ananias obeyed God and invested in the life of this convert, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was not an unknown. In fact, he was very well known. And Ananias said, Lord, are you absolutely sure? For Saul was a persecutor. Saul was a hater of Christians. And yet, now that he was saved, no one knew, including Saul, including Ananias, and only God, what God had intended to do through this life. And I don't know when Ananias died. I don't know how much of now we know the Apostle Paul's life he was able to observe or hear about. But I promise you this, I am absolutely convinced he had no regret. And my challenge to you tonight is to so serve the Lord faithfully that those who have invested in you are glad they did. Now, what is it going to take to get to that point where you, like Saul and Paul, could say, I finished my course. There's a crown of righteousness for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. What was it for Paul to say, I am now ready? Well, he wasn't quitting on God. He knew his death was soon. He was, I believe, at this point in time, just days from the executioner's axe, and it was all over, and he knew that. He had been in house arrest there in Rome for a period of time. But all his life, he lived with that passion about facing God. Philippians, he said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but I'll stay and do what God wants me to do. And there always has to be a yearning and an attachment to that homeland, but that idea of desiring to depart, I just want you to think about for a minute, because it is not a negative, depressed, I want to get out of here, I'm tired of the hassle, I'm tired of the rejection, I'm tired of the frustration. It was a word used like a prisoner being set free, or like a soldier who'd been away at battle and now they'd won the victory and he's able to pack up his bags and head home. That's the idea. This world is not our home. And the idea is to so serve that whenever our time on earth is finished, we can say, I'm set free and I have that desire to depart. But I want you to consider what Paul said here that enabled him to have that kind of attitude and enabled him to give a positive return on the investment of others. He said, I have fought a good fight. Neil, sadly, the ministry is a call to stand for truth in a day of error. It's really a term of exertion. It is understanding that you have to be engaged in the conflict. You have to be involved in the struggle. You have to exert the effort. This is not, of course, to be saved. It is because we are saved, and it is a good fight. He wasn't speaking in bragging tones. He was saying it's a worthwhile fight. I will be honest. I don't know about Brother Savage. I don't know about your father. We've not had the discussion. I will be honest and tell you, there's sometimes I weary of the fight. I weary of my peers bailing. I weary of being alone. Sometimes I look in the mirror and say, are you the only weirdo left? I'll admit I'm weird, but am I the only one? I mean, I don't mind being weird if there's a group of weirdos with me, but when you're the only weirdo, it gets lonely sometimes. And the point is, Paul understood that the Christian life is a battlefield. Old Lester Roloff used to sing, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. And if you're going to serve God and you're going to finish the well, finish the race God has for you victoriously, if you're going to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'm just challenging you that the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel and the truth of God is worth every exertion and it's worthy of your very best effort. Fight the good fight. Now, let me back up from that and say there are a lot of foolish fights out there that you don't need to get involved in. And there are a lot of frivolous fights out there that you need to stay away from. But be willing to shed your blood and be willing to take a stand and be willing to lose friends if you'll fight the good fight. A pastor friend of mine says, if you spend a lifetime in ministry, you're a young man, you and your wife have many years ahead of you. I pray you have 50 years of effective ministry for God. But if you're going to serve faithfully and stay true to the Word of God, as you declared yesterday in your ordination, you will either have to change your positions or change your friends. Several times. Several times. It's been validated. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established, my brother. It is true. And there are guys that I never thought would bail, have bailed. There are guys that I thought would never give up their positions. That for ease, pressure, family, or friends, they've given up the fight. All of us have common enemies. The Apostle John told us about the enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And those are very real, and you were challenged about integrity a moment ago, so we won't go there. But I'm just saying, one day, you're not going to be beginning your race, but you're going to be ending your race. End it because you fought the fight well. The second thing he said was that he finished his course. If fighting the fight is a term of exertion, then running the race is a term of endurance. It is day after day, week after week, when it's easy, when it's exciting, when it's mundane, and when it's quite boring. When you are just pumped because of all the good things, and when you're trying to get pumped because you haven't seen any good things. It is one step, one day, one hour, one service, one person, one counseling, one prayer time, day after day. After day, after day. You can tell by looking at me, God did not make me a sprinter. He didn't make me a runner of any kind, to tell you the truth, unless somebody's got a ball or I've got a ball and I'm running away. But the truth is, a picture of the race in the Bible is not a sprint. It's not a sudden burst. It's not that youthful enthusiasm. It is the long Well, the man we often call the father of modern mission said that he is just a plotter for the Lord, William Carey. Imagine 7 years, not one convert. Imagine the family struggles he had. Imagine all the work he put into translation and it all being lost and doing it all over again. But I would say, in God's esteem, he finished well. The emphasis is not on winning, but staying in the regulation so that you can finish your course with joy. In chapter 2, he says in verse number 5, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. No shortcuts. And he's just reminding us of the importance of the endurance in our Christian life and service. Remember, he started this race 30 years prior on that road to Damascus when he was saved. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In Acts chapter 20, the apostle wrote, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Hebrews, we won't take time to turn there. That great passage that is talking about running the race, talks about laying aside every weight. That's having right priorities and laying aside the sin which does so easily beset us. That's having the right perception and running with patience the race that is set before us. That is the right persistence and looking unto Jesus. That's the right perspective. In South Africa, they have a race that they run once a year. It's been run since May of 1921. The last running was June 3rd of this year. It's called the Comrades Marathon. It makes the Boston or New York Marathon look like a sissy run, for it is nearly 56 miles long. And every June, thousands of runners will attempt to complete that race. And obviously, to be successful, they have to train well and eat right and have a good plan. And the point I'm making is to run that race, if you're going to run that race, if every step was a meter, you would take 90,000 steps to complete that race. One right after another, right after another, right after another. And your Christian life is going to be one step right after another step, right after another step. Your ministry, one message, right after another message, right after another message. Sunday's always coming. Sunday's always coming. You preach 5-6 times a week like I do, let me tell you something. They just run, one right into another. But that's the race. You can't be careless with one time. You can't be cavalier or depend on your past, or think you're smart enough. It is running the race and running it well. And thirdly, the Apostle Paul said, that he kept the faith. There is a faith that God has given us in his word that is worth guarding or valuing or treasuring.